Well, look like there are a few adventures getting to church this morning. but let's begin our service this morning. The order of worship, Divine Service 4, for Holy Trinity. We begin with our opening hymn, Holy God, We Praise Thy Name.
Greetings in our risen Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We welcome you to the Sunday, May 26th, 2024 worship service at Zion Lutheran Church, Lincoln, Illinois. Participating in production of this broadcast are Bill and Diane Breen and Casey Jones. Our organist is Dora Thompson. The opening hymn is number 940. Holy God, We Praise Thy Name, hymn number 940, found in the Lutheran service book. Casey and Sharon Jones are sponsoring the flowers on the altar to the glory of God in honor of their 36th wedding anniversary on May 28th. John and Megan Clem are sponsoring the radio broadcast today to the glory of God in honor of Quentin Clem's 8th baptismal birthday on May 22nd.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord,
who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, to call upon him in prayer and praise, and to receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar, let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner.
Almighty God, have mercy upon us. Forgive us our sins. and lead us to everlasting life.
Almighty God, merciful Father, in holy baptism you declared us to be your children and gathered us into your one holy church, in which you daily and richly forgive us our sins and grant us new life through your Spirit. Be in our midst, enliven our faith, and graciously receive our prayer and praise. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Ascribe to the Lord, O heavenly beings. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength.
Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Worship the Lord in the splendor of holiness.
The voice of the Lord is over the waters. The God of glory thunders. The Lord over many waters.
The voice of the Lord is powerful. The voice of the Lord is full of majesty.
The voice of the Lord breaks the cedars. The Lord breaks the cedars of Lebanon.
He makes Lebanon to skip like a calf, and Syrian like a young wild ox.
The voice of the Lord flashes forth flames of fire.
The voice of the Lord shakes the wilderness. The Lord shakes the wilderness of Kadesh.
The voice of the Lord makes the deer give birth and strips the forest bare, and in his temple all cry, glory.
The Lord sits enthroned over the flood. The Lord sits enthroned as king forever.
May the Lord give strength to his people. May the Lord bless his people with peace.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen.
Be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, you have given us grace to acknowledge the glory of the eternal Trinity by the confession of a true faith, and to worship the unity in the power of the divine majesty. Keep us steadfast in this faith and defend us from all adversities. For you, O Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, live and reign, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated. The Old Testament reading for this, the Sunday of the Holy Trinity, is from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 6th chapter, the beginning at the first verse. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above him stood the seraphim. Each had 6 wings. With 2 he covered his face, and with 2 he covered his feet, and with 2 he flew. And one called to the other and said, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the foundations of the threshold shook at the voice of him who called, and the house was filled with smoke. And I said, "Woe is me, for I am lost, for I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a burning coal that he had taken with tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth and said, "Behold, this has touched your lips. Your guilt is taken away, and your sin atoned for." And I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send? And who will go for us?" And then I said, "Here am I. Send me." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Catechetical Review, in regards to Christian questions and their answers. Did the Father also die for you?
He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. But the Son is both true God and true man. He died for me and shed his blood for me.
How do you know this?
From the Holy Gospel, from the words instituting the sacrament, and by his body and blood given me as a pledge in the sacrament.
Our second reading from the book of Acts, the 2nd chapter, beginning at the 14th verse. Peter, standing with the 11, lifted up his voice and addressed them. "Men of Israel, hear these words. Jesus of Nazareth, a man attested to you by God with mighty works and wonders and signs that God did through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This Jesus, delivered up according to the definite plan and foreknowledge of God, you crucified and killed by the hands of lawless men. God raised him up, loosing the pains of death, because it was not possible for him to be held by it. For David says concerning him, 'I saw the Lord always before me, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. Therefore my heart was glad and my tongue rejoiced. My flesh also will dwell in hope. For you will not abandon my soul to Hades or let your Holy One see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will make me full of gladness with your presence. Brothers, I may say to you with confidence about the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Being therefore a prophet and knowing that God had sworn with an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants on his throne, he foresaw and spoke about the resurrection of the Christ, that he was not abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh see corruption. This Jesus God raised up, and of that we are all witnesses. Being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. For David did not ascend into the heavens, but he himself says, 'The Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool.' Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
We rise for the singing of the Alleluia.
Thank you.
Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered him, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, You must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear its sound, but you do not know where it comes from or where it goes. So it is with everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered him, Are you the teacher of Israel, and yet you do not understand these things? Truly, truly, I say to you, we speak of what we know and bear witness to what we have seen, but you do not receive our testimony. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how can you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended into heaven except he who descended from heaven, the Son of Man. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
We confess our Christian faith through the words of the Athanasian Creed.
Whoever desires to be saved must above all hold the Catholic faith. Whoever does not keep it whole and undefiled will, without doubt, perish eternally. And the Catholic faith is this, that we worship one God in Trinity, and Trinity in unity, neither confusing the persons nor dividing the substance. For the Father is one person, the Son is another, and the Holy Spirit is another. But the Godhead of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit is one, the glory equal, the majesty co-eternal. Such as the Father is, such is the Son, and such is the Holy Spirit. The Father uncreated, the Son uncreated, the Holy Spirit uncreated. The Father infinite, the Son infinite, the Holy Spirit infinite. The Father eternal, the Son eternal, the Holy Spirit eternal. And yet there are not three eternals, but one eternal. Just as there are not three uncreated, or three infinites, but one uncreated, and one infinite. In the same way, the Father is almighty, the Son almighty, the Holy Spirit almighty. And yet there are not three almighties, but one almighty. So the Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. And yet there are not three gods, but one God. So the Father is Lord, the Son is Lord, the Holy Spirit is Lord. And yet there are not three lords, but one Lord. Just as we are compelled by the Christian truth to acknowledge each distinct person as God and Lord, so also are we prohibited by the Catholic religion to say that there are three gods or lords. The Father is not made, nor created, nor begotten by anyone. The Son is neither made nor created, but begotten of the Father alone. The Holy Spirit is of the Father and of the Son, neither made nor created nor begotten, but proceeding. Thus there is one Father, not three fathers, one Son, not three sons, one Holy Spirit, not three Holy Spirits. And in this Trinity, none is before or after another, none is greater or less than another. But the whole three persons are co-eternal with each other and co-equal, so that in all things, as has been stated above, the Trinity in unity and unity in Trinity is to be worshipped. Therefore, whoever desires to be saved must think thus about the Trinity. But it is also necessary for everlasting salvation that one faithfully believe the incarnation of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is the right faith that we believe and confess that our Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is at the same time both God and man. He is God, begotten from the substance of the Father before all ages, and he is man, born from the substance of his mother in this age. Perfect God and perfect man, composed of a rational soul and human flesh, equal to the Father with respect to his divinity, less than the Father with respect to his humanity. Although he is God and man, he is not two, but one Christ. One, however, not by the conversion of the divinity into flesh, but by the assumption of the humanity into God. One altogether, not by confusion of substance, but by unity of person. For as the rational soul and flesh is one man, so God and man is one Christ, who suffered for our salvation, descended into hell, rose again the third day from the dead, ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, God Almighty, from whence he will come to judge the living and the dead. At his coming, all people will rise again with their bodies and give an account concerning their own deeds. And those who have done good will enter into eternal life, and those who have done evil into eternal fire. This is the Catholic faith. Whoever does not believe it faithfully and firmly cannot be saved.
Please be seated. Taking a look this morning, I'm going to make the decision to pass over the children's message this morning and head right to the hymn of the day. Holy, holy, holy.
The hymn of the day is hymn number 507, Holy, 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 hymn number 507 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Thank you.
sermon text this morning. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, the words of our text. Grace to you and peace from God our Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, this is let's call it different texts, different sermons that lend themselves to different things. There's life application things, and this is more of a let's understand something thing kind of a sermon. So I have here to start off with in my hands the book of Concord, which is the documents that pastors attest to confess our faith. These are the confessions of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. And the first confession in here is the Augsburg Confession. And the Augsburg Confession states what we believe about God. Now this Book of Concord is something that all of us ought to be at least know that it exists, that we have a Book of Concord that contains these documents. And you should know that the Augsburg Confession is a document that exists. It was written in 1580 by the confessors and sent to the Pope. But the Articles of Faith and Doctrine, what do we say about God? This is a very right up first thing, God. We unanimously hold and teach, in accordance with the decree of the Council of Nicaea, that there is one divine essence, which is called and which is truly God, and that there are three persons in this one divine essence, equal in power and alike eternal. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. All three are one divine essence, eternal, without division, without end, and of infinite power, wisdom, and goodness. One creator and preserver of all things, visible and invisible. The word person is to be understood as the Church Fathers employed the term in this connection, not as a part or a property of another, but as that which exists of itself. Therefore, all the heresies which are contrary to this article are rejected. Among these are the heresies of the Manichaeans, who assert that there are two gods, one good and one evil. Also that of the Valentinians, the Arians, the Eunomians, and the Mohammedans, and others like them. And also that of the Samosotians, old and new, who hold that there is only one person, and sophistically assert that there are the other two, the Word and the Holy Spirit, are not necessarily distinct persons, but that the Word signifies a physical word or voice, and that the Holy Spirit is a movement induced in creatures. Thus, the confessors write concerning who God is: one God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So I'm going to begin this Trinity Sunday with a straight-up admission. The absolute straight-up admission that the doctrine of the Trinity is something that is incomprehensible to the human mind. Right? We can't understand it. We can't fathom the depths of it all. The Trinity is much like the personal union of the two natures in Jesus Christ, or the doctrine of the real presence of the body and blood of Christ in the sacrament of the altar. These are doctrines taught by God in the Holy Scriptures, and as such, they are taught by the Church of God on earth, and they are articles of faith. Human reason just can't understand that one thing contains no distinctions, and yet at the exact same time is three distinct things. You see, the Trinity is not something that you and I could figure out on our own. It needs to be revealed to us in the Word of God. Now, the word Trinity is found nowhere within the Holy Scriptures. But the word Trinity summarizes all that the Scripture teaches concerning the Godhead. everything that God has revealed about himself and concerning himself. That is, that he is one, as it is written in 1 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 4. Therefore, as to the eating of food offered to idols, we know that an idol has no real existence, and that there is no God but one. Yet the one is Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, as in Matthew 28:19. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. We can't figure out the Trinity by looking at nature. That's impossible. The truth is, right, that we've probably all heard one of our pastors say, and I've said it before, probably not as much as I used to. We try to describe the Trinity by pointing, say, to something like an apple or an orange and saying, oh, look, there's a peel and there's the part you eat and then there's the seed. See? Three different things and yet only one apple or one orange or one piece of fruit. But such analogies always crumble and fall. And they do not prove the Trinity, nor do they confirm the mystery of the Trinity. Paul, in addressing the Romans, writes, what can be known about God is plain to them because God has shown it to them. For his invisible attributes, namely his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly perceived ever since the creation in the world, in the things that have been made. So every blade of grass, every part of nature, bears an inscription that says, God has made me. This is so plain that unless a person actively suppresses this knowledge, actively suppresses this understanding, that it's just so obvious that there is a designer behind everything. To ignore that, you have to actively put that away and put it down. But no created thing in the universe has a tag on it that says, the three persons of the Godhead has made me. It can't have that inscription because there is only one divine omnipotence and one divine operation. Only in his word does God reveal to us that there is one divine creator and one divine preserver of all things, and that is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Only in his word and not in nature does God reveal to us his divine essence. God reveals the Trinity to us in the Holy Scriptures, not as a philosophical speculation or some sort of academic exercise. Rather, the Trinity is a practical article of faith. In the creeds, we confess all three persons of the Trinity, along with the confession of the deity of Jesus Christ. The confession of the saving truth that he is the second person of the Godhead, that he became man for us. Remember the Christian questions, did the Father also die for you? He did not. The Father is God only, as is the Holy Spirit. Right? But the Son gave his life for me and shed his blood for me on the cross. Jesus became man, was crucified for us, and died for us. To this creedal implication comes the Spirit as life-giver and divine revealer are added. The Father has his work, the Son has his work, the Spirit has his work. The Father sends the Son, the Son is the Redeemer, the Spirit reveals the work of the Son. Thus all three persons of the Holy Trinity are actively engaged in our redemption. God has decreed from eternity that his Son should become man and die to reconcile lost humanity unto himself. And nothing could free us from the dreadful fall into sin and eternal death except an eternal person who has the power to destroy sin and death and to give eternal righteousness and life in its place. No angel, no creature could do this. Only God himself could accomplish it. Therefore, the deity of Jesus Christ needs to be upheld. To deny the deity of Christ would be to deny the God-centered work of redemption and then Christ as the object of saving faith. As Scripture tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son into death as the Savior from the guilt of sin and from death. That in the fullness of time, the eternal Son became incarnate, and by his very vicarious satisfaction, Jesus reconciled the world to God. That the Holy Spirit creates faith in the Son and thus applies to you the salvation gained by Jesus Christ. So what are you saying when you stand up and say, I believe in God the Father, I believe in God the Son, I believe in God the Holy Spirit? You are saying nothing less than this: I believe in the God who is gracious to me, a sinner. There it is. The one God who is gracious to you, a sinner. We dare not be worshiping a false God. We dare not be worshiping a different God. We will not be caught saying there is one God who shows himself in three different modes, and thus eliminating the persons of the Trinity. We will not be caught saying that there are three different gods and eliminate the unity of the Godhead. We must not make Christ subordinate to the Father. All must be as God himself has revealed in the Scriptures, lest we put our trust and our confidence into a false God. If that happens, we would be lost forever. When it comes to the mystery of the Holy Trinity, we must absolutely and totally stick with what God has revealed to us, what we have confessed just recently in the Athanasian Creed. One God, three persons. The Father is God, the Son is God, the Holy Spirit is God. The Father is not the Son is not the Spirit is not the Father. In this holy and divine mystery, we rest secure, knowing that even though this is above our ability to reason out, that we simply trust the revelation of God himself about who he is. One God, three persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Into that God's name, amen. And now may that peace which passes all understanding be in your hearts and minds through the one true faith in Christ Jesus our Lord.
Amen. Amen.
Let us now rise for our prayers. Let us pray for the whole people of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Dear God, your ways are inscrutable and your judgments are unsearchable. Through your word, give us an ever-growing understanding of the depths of your riches, wisdom, and knowledge, that we may glorify you forever. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of hosts, Matthew, our synodical president, Michael, our district president, David, our circuit visitor, and our circuit pastors have heard your voice calling them to be your servants. Grant to them the Spirit so that they can always say, here I am, send me to whatever you ask. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
God of the nations, you sit enthroned as king forever. We pray you to bless President Biden, the Congress of these United States, and the Supreme Court, all who rule us in your stead with wisdom and understanding, that truth and justice may prevail in our land and lawlessness may be kept at bay. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Father of mercy, we thank you for the many blessings you have bestowed upon this nation. Grant us a long memory to recall those who gave the full measure of devotion to our country's peace and security. Bring to mind the sacrifices of those who served faithfully until death in the protection of our freedom, and in the defense of our land. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
Lord of hosts, uphold each of those who are sick and in need of healing, and by your truth comfort all who suffer in our midst. That since you are the right hand at the right hand, they know that they cannot be shaken. Gladden their hearts, cause their tongues to rejoice, and make their flesh dwell in hope. Receive also the thanksgivings of those whom you have aided in the healing process, especially Doug Sheely, as he gives you thanks for his successful hernia surgery and for the relief that has come with it. Grant to Doug and to all those in recovery a swift return to their activities and daily vocations. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayers.
O Lord, Heavenly Father, we gratefully remember the sufferings and death of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, for our salvation. Rejoicing in his victorious resurrection from the dead, we draw strength from his ascension before you, where he stands for us as our own high priest. Gather us together from the ends of the earth to celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. For you alone we give all glory, honor, and worship, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Please be seated for the reception of our gifts and offerings.
You have been sharing in the Sunday morning worship at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street in Lincoln, Illinois, where you have just heard Reverend Mark Thompson deliver the message for this morning. If you cannot be physically present, join us every Sunday morning on the radio at 8 o'clock over WLLM 1370 AM or WLLM 105.3 FM or at www.zlclinc.org, where you will find links to the internet stream and to Facebook Live. Zion is a member congregation of the Worldwide Fellowship of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. If you are without a church home, we invite you to become a part of the Zion family. If we may assist you in any way, please call us at 732-3946 or write to us at Zion Lutheran Church, 205 Pulaski Street, Lincoln, Illinois, 62656. Zion also offers a premier education with a Christian worldview for children from age 3 through the 8th grade at Zion Lutheran School. For more information concerning our school, please contact our principal, Dr. Stephen Perry, at 732-3977. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with you all. Amen.
Please rise. Lord, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Blessed Lord, you have caused all holy scriptures to be written for our learning. Grant that we may so hear them, read, mark, learn, and take them to heart, that by the patience and comfort of your holy word, we may embrace and ever hold fast the blessed hope of everlasting life. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and grant thee his peace.
Amen. Amen. The closing hymn is hymn number 643, Sent Forth by God's Blessing, hymn number 643 in the Lutheran Service Book.
Please be seated. Just a couple brief announcements this morning. Peggy gave me a note yesterday, Peggy Meyer, about youth group, that there's about one activity each month during the summer for youth group, and she'll hand that information to me. Then on Sunday previous, I'll make an announcement about that. Like, we've got laser tag coming up in the first weekend of June, I believe. And we've invited the other youth groups of the circuit to join in and have a lot of fun with that. So hopefully we'll have a lot of kids here that first Sunday afternoon in June, and have a good time with that. There's going to be a special voters meeting on June 9th. I want to announce that between services. The topic of the special voters meeting is going to be the school roof, the needed repairs on the school roof, and replacement of the sign out front of the school also. Full disclosure, school roof, we're looking at over $100,000, for the school roof. So if you want to hear about that, come to the special voters meeting. But this roof's 50 years old, so it needs repaired, and it leaks, and we want to get that taken care of quickly and correctly. And then the sign is, we're looking at an electronic sign out front, one that can actually be read by people as they're driving by the school, one that would be, somebody said the Tremont Bank there on Woodlawn. It'd be assigned somewhat like the one there at Tremont Bank. So a couple things before the congregation that really won't be able to wait till the voters meeting in July. So we're going to have that special voters meeting June 9th in between services. May the Lord bless all of you. May he bless your comings in and your goings out from this time forth and evermore. Amen.